Thank you. Well, happy Labor Day weekend. Y'all knew there was something wrong with that, didn't you? You know why you knew something was wrong? Because you're aware of time. You're aware of time. I've grown in my belief concerning living life led by the Holy Spirit, that one of the most neglected and often overlooked and vital things involved in being led by the Holy Spirit is being able to discern the timing of the Lord. I'm going to give you the Happy Meal version this morning. I want to talk about the time, God's timing, and the open gates. I remember I was a younger man, I think in my preteen years, I saw Wilson Dam for the very first time. And you may not be aware of it, but it's like one of the largest dams east of the Rockies. And it's on the historical register because it was the first of the dams of the TVA system and still the largest of that system. It's amazing. There are 3 million watts of electricity produced on average per day through Wilson Dam. It takes about 1 million watts to furnish electricity for 650 homes. So you're talking about enough electricity for 430,000 homes that's going through Wilson Dam. There's about 67,000 households in Colburn and Lauderdale County combined. So that's a massive amount of power that's generated through Wilson Dam. When you drive across it, what's interesting, if when you look on the Wilson Lake side, usually the water's up here, and you look on the Pickwick side, the side toward McFarland, the west, the water's down here. And it's all that pressure going through those turbines that creates electricity. And there's a sense in which the 15,000 acres of water that represents Wilson Lake, characterized by about 661 miles of shoreline, that is a reservoir of potential power just sitting there. But once it makes its way through those floodgates, it becomes actualized power. So when those gates are closed, it's all that potential power is just sitting there. And unknown to us, there are people that make decisions to open the gates so the power can be produced. And in a very similar way in the realm of the Spirit, sometimes we find ourselves like bottlenecked in season. You look and you say, there's so much potential. There's so many people ready. The church is just there, but it's like nothing's happening. When's it going to become actualized? When's it going to be demonstrated? But also in a similar way, in the unseen realm, God is working. And I just want to say this to you. In this season we've been in, of a global pandemic, I truly believe, and I've said this before, I'm not saying God caused this, don't believe he did, but God has been so working in the middle of it. And it's so important that each of us do some inventory. What is God doing inside of me during this season? Because I'm telling you, I believe we are nearing a time when the floodgates are going to begin to open. And we will look back at this and see it has been a great preparatory season, that God has done a lot of pruning, a lot of correcting, a lot of aligning, a lot of getting us in the proper place, getting us ready. So it's you've heard it said, and I believe truthfully so on many occasions, don't waste a good crisis. It's an opportunity to grow. When we're put in situations that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable, that is prime territory for boot camp with God, for him to address things. Often it's pressure that brings things to the surface. And I know one thing, you don't want to be in a little bitty metal boat on the west side of Wilson Dam when they open those floodgates up. I mean, during flood season, do you know there are times when It approaches almost 4 million gallons of water per second that flows through that thing. That's a massive wall of power and energy. And right now, there, I believe so much is stirring in the unseen realm, but when there's breakthrough, it's going to be incredible. We're hearing a lot of prophetic words about great awakening, end time harvest, and so forth. And I believe it's always true to say the best is yet to come, because that's what the scripture teaches. But the timing of the Lord, it was said of the sons of Issachar that they were wise concerning the times, and they knew what Israel needed to do. We need to know where we are in time. And that can have different categorizations. Where we are in time globally, what's God doing in the world? Where we are in time regionally, what's God doing here? Where we are in time individually, what has God been forming and cultivating in my life? What is the battle I've been fighting? What is it that He's teaching me to overcome? What is He building into me? Because Philippians 2:13 makes an assertion filled with promise that we all must embrace as believers. It is God, it says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. And when you break that, the meaning of that apart, it's basically saying, God, He's at work energizing you to do His will and to have you to act so that He can bring about His purposes. God, who lives beyond time, He transcends time, He has chosen to intervene into time, interact with time, and to release anointings across time to fulfill His purposes. And sometimes it hits you smack between the eyes because His finger's on you. And He says, okay, now I'm going to use you to do this. And I'm going to give this to you to facilitate the this that I want to do in you. And it's marked by time in human terms. We see this in Scripture. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, then He poured out His Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. God moves in time. He is not bound by time, but He has chosen to work within the parameters of human time. We see it in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day, specified period of time, our daily bread. We end the prayer as we sang this morning, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the eternal realm. Earlier in the Lord's Prayer, kingdom of God, that's one realm. Come, will of God be done as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Two realms, the earthly realm, the heavenly realm, the timeless realm invading the realm of time, the will of God being done. And we are at the intersection of that very often when God begins to deal with us, prepare us, cultivate us, stretch us, change us, like a woman who's pregnant for the first time and she goes through pregnancy. Her body starts taking shapes. Things starts happening in her that have never happened before. Hasn't happened to me. Never will happen to me in the natural. But I've watched it happen to my wife and others. And it's just amazing what happens. And yet new life is produced. A lot of pain. A lot of discomfort. A lot of stretching. A lot of adapting. A lot of new cravings. Pickles at midnight. And to me, these are natural snapshots of God's dealing with us as His people according to the Spirit. Time. I just want to share some scriptures with you. And I am abbreviating. I want to impress upon you how much God really is involved in things. I am not saying God is causing everything that happens. The scripture does not teach that. He is not the causal agent of evil, nor sin, nor can he be. But neither is he limited in his workings because someone has sinned or because evil is present. He walked into a garden. The snake had invaded and seduced his two kids, and he sought them out. That's his heart. Listen to some scriptures. Machine gun fashion here. Daniel 2:21. Daniel the revelator. I mean, he was such a seer. He saw so far beyond his years. He saw things that we know, some of the things he saw happened in time, just like he said it would. From the days that he made a proclamation until the Messiah was cut off, he said how many years it would be, and it was that number of years because God chose to work in the confines of that time frame and prophesied it. The end from the beginning, so that when it happened, you'd know that God knew it, God planned it, and God did it. That's who he is. Daniel 2:21, he changes times at God. He changes times and season. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Another big picture idea, I love this, I mention it often, Acts 17:26. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Now that's a series, but in a summary statement, this means that God chose when you would be born, where you would be born, and to whom you would be born, and what nation in which you would be born. Well, I thought it was because my daddy chose to marry my mama, and then they chose to have a child. And God worked through that. God wasn't surprised by any of that, but he was choosing all along, determining. And none of that robs you of any decision you will ever make. Or the accountability for it. Psalm 90 verse 4. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. God's view of time is different than ours. He's so much more patient than we are, right? I'm going to call and report this McDonald's because it took me 2.5 minutes instead of 2 minutes to get my meal. Okay, Proverbs 16:4. Listen to this, the Lord, Yahweh, big letters. The Lord works out everything to its proper end. Boy, that's a refrigerator verse when you're in the middle of a mess. Let me read it again just in case it leapt across you. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. I mean, that says a whole lot. Isaiah 46:10, declaration of God. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. The end from the beginning. Seeing into the future. Seeing across time. And sometimes what he's seeing, he decides he wants to say it, show it, and say it through somebody that's prophetic, and they see it, and they say it in the realm of time. The Bible is filled with that. And a lot is he has shown and said has still not happened, so we can see the future through what he has shown Daniel, through what he showed John on the Isle of Patmos, and so forth. Let me read. Finish that verse. I got to preaching in the middle of it. I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all I please. Now, if anybody can point the finger in your face, it's God. And you can almost see that. My purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. And when God's saying that, He can back it up. There ain't nobody else out there, God. Now, that may be a revelation from somebody here in the morning, but he solely occupies the throne. The Holy Trinity never has to meet in an emergency session because they were caught off guard by something that they did not know or that they did not see. He said, I see the end from the beginning, so he's never surprised. And from the Ancient of Days, what will be made known? I'll do all I please. I like that. Acts 1:7, the disciples, after Jesus has already been raised from the dead, appeared for 40 days, he's about to ascend. And they said, well, okay, is it now, Lord? Is now the time you're going to restore the kingdom? Acts 1:7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. There are some things only God the Father knows. And Jesus said that himself. First Timothy 6:15, speaking of the return of Jesus, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 22:13, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hebrews says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. These verses, all of these encourage me because basically, roll them up, make a small ball, and it says, God is truly in charge. When it's all said and done. That doesn't mean that everything happens pleases God. It does not mean that everything happens is the will of God. But it does mean after everything happens and after everything's said and done and when everything's wound up, he has declared it. He sees the end from the beginning. He will do as he pleases. Nobody tells God that he's not God and lives not to regret it. And in that sense, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty means that he really does rule and reign. He has the final say. And in his sovereignty, yet he's ordained that we would live our lives out in the sequence of time, that he would intersect our lives and he would speak to us and he would show us things and he would honor decisions we make. He would invite us to partner with him to fulfill things. I believe we miss out on some things because we don't understand time. There are three Greek words used in the Greek New Testament that have reference to time frames. You have the word aion that speaks of an age, like the age of the Gentiles. You have the Greek word chronos. It's a general word for time that can talk about a long or short period of the unfolding of time. And then there's the word kairos, which means an opportune time. It's more of a tipping point idea where things come to a crescendo, a crisis, and then there's an opportunity that exists that if we respond in faith, if we act in accordance with God's will in that moment, that things will be brought about that could not be brought about at other times and will not be able to be brought about past that time. It's an opportunity. It's a door that's open that won't always be open, that will have a time when it closes. That's kairos. There's an open door that remains to be open. This is the age of the Gentiles. It's the good news. You can be saved. Now is the time. It's always now. There's never a wrong time to repent. There's never a bad time to get saved. That door is always open. Whosoever will, let him come. But practically speaking, in our lives, we have opportunities to partner with God on occasion to see floodgates open and to see his purposes and promises fulfilled. For instance, Judas, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, but Judas is still accountable for what he did. He chose to be a betrayer. Jesus wasn't surprised by it. He could have chosen not to. Ananias and Sapphira, I don't believe they had to fall dead. But what they chose to do brought death upon them. And so they're accountable for that. And the things that we can't figure out, we trust God with it. And that's the right step of faith to take. Jesus lived his life along with the understanding of time. There, in John chapter 2, my hour's not yet come, he told his mother. But her faith put a demand on him that accelerated the timetable for the manifestation of his miraculous ministry. And it brought it forth. There's where a step of faith shifted the time. He told his brothers in the natural who didn't believe in him, he said, my hour's not yet, but for you the time is always, or your hour's already here. In other words, you can believe and receive. It's not, they were trying to pressure him into doing certain things to prove who he was. Jesus would never do things to prove who he was. He did things because he knew who he was. He only did what he saw the Father doing. That's the reason he didn't allow the enemy, the devil, and the temptation to push him ahead of God's schedule by turning stones into bread or jumping off the temple. And no, he wasn't going to be rushed prematurely. He's going to be led by the Spirit. And that's the reason he used the Word. We need to know the Word, and we need to know the sensitivity of the Spirit. All that works together to be in time to do the will of God in the right way at the right time. And Jesus lived his life that way, in the intersection of God's timing and God's will. He received revelation. He could have passed on, but he waited for the witness, for the timing. He told his disciples, I have many things to share with you. He already had them, but you are not yet able. And then he said, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and he'll show you things to come. He'll guide you in all truth. And so that pattern was established by Christ, that we now have the Holy Spirit who will show us what we need to see when we need to see it. And sometimes we see it when we are able to see it because we are choosing to be in the Word. We are cultivating our spiritual life and walk with God. And God knows, okay, we've matured to a point where we can take that next step, which means that next door can now open. There's a preparatory process also involved in the unfolding of time. And yes, the choices we make to be disciples, followers, to be obedient, to be humble, to be trainable, to be teachable, can accelerate that. That's the reason sometimes you may see someone that's been saved 6 months, and it seems as if they've grown far beyond someone that's been saved 6 years. Or 16 years. Is that because of something's going on they don't have anything to do with? No, most of the time it's because one has been more diligent, more wholehearted, and given themselves to grow, to be a follower. And so, yes, our will is involved in this whole process. Let me share with you just some things to keep in mind as far as being able to properly discern where you are in time. And this is really kind of dealing with, some of it's dealing with discerning and introspection. But the first thing is this: pay attention to the people the Lord uses to impact your life. Because God's timing, usually when God's about to do something, there's going to be a communication from him about his will. We may get that from studying the scriptures. Sometimes that communication may become, you know, who you allow to teach you is important. I count it an honor that you would sit here and allow me to open up the scripture and teach you. That's such an honor. I mean, I sometimes pinch myself, like, these people actually sit and listen to me teach and preach. But it's an honor. It's important. What you're taught needs to be grounded firmly in the Word of God, and the Spirit will bear witness with it. And so you need to pay attention to that. Sometimes there may be a challenge. Do you know it's good for us to be challenged? I remember in high school, and I played in different sports, and that's all about being challenged, pushing yourself to go where you haven't gone before. We need to be challenged. You need to be challenged on how you're thinking through things. I need to be challenged. We need to be challenged so that we can think through it scripturally. Like, am I making my decisions based on scriptural principles and scriptural precedent? Am I making my decisions that way? Or am I making decisions based on what a popular opinion is? Could I make a pastoral statement? And I mean this with all the kindness in my heart. But yeah, I'm going to maybe a little tap. Just because somebody sends you something on Messenger, that some word or some teaching, it's amazing to me how people will dive into the deep end of the pool without knowing what's been put in the pool, who put it in there, and just begin sharing it. I mean, it's one thing, a news headline's one thing, but truth that's supposed to represent the teaching of Scripture, know those who labor among you. If I, during this pandemic, if I had followed everything I've received into my inbox, number one, I wouldn't even had help nowhere near to have enough time to have taken a shower in the last year. Because, I mean, it's just been crazy. And people will jump on the bandwagon. Well, who is that? I don't know. Where'd they come from? I don't know. Where'd they get that? I don't know. Let's be discerning. We need to think through, what does the Scripture say about these things? Be discerning. We need to be challenged. And I will purposely sometimes read things just to be challenged. I'm not talking about sinful things, but I'm just talking about different viewpoints. We learn from one another that way. I already know what I know. So the Lord's got to show, revelation means the Lord's showing you something you don't know. But sometimes other people can get revelation. So it's good to be challenged in that way. So I am saying that, but I am saying be careful about latching on to things before you search it through and think it through. During none of this time have I felt like I'm to be a medical doctor. I don't have a degree in the biomedical world. I don't have a degree about how to make vaccines and all that kind of stuff. I've been alive a long time, and I never have grilled a doctor too hard when he gave me a prescription if he said I needed it. I Google it nowadays. But just because you can Google something don't mean that God's in the Google, okay? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what I will do, like we've got doctors and we've got medical people in our fellowship that I know, love, and trust, I'll ask them about things. But we have people that'll just become an expert overnight because they read four articles on Google, when you've got people that's given their whole life and who love the Lord and are anointed by God that actually might know more. Lord help us if they don't know more than somebody that read three articles. Are you hearing me? We need to be challenged. But sometimes, when I'm talking about people impact, sometimes we may be discouraged and we're down and out. And it's amazing how God can use one person to release an encouraging word to us. And how it can just turn things around for us. Because in this season when we've been so isolated and kept apart and bombarded by the million voices out there, that makes us all vulnerable. Because we feel alone. And we haven't had what we've had here this morning during this whole time that we need. I need Pastor Doc. And I need Andrew. I need Randy. I need Roger. I need Ty. I need Hillard. We need one. We grow from one. It's good just being together. There's an anointing when we're together. I felt it this morning as we were worshiping in the room, God did so much more than the few things that we saw. He did so much more than that just because we were in an atmosphere. Number one, we all came to worship. We came here because we love God. We came here because we're hungry for the Word. We came here because this is where God has led us to receive from. And so that faith that brings us together, takes us together. It lifts all the boats in the harbor when we come together. So we have been deprived of that in this season. And the enemy knows that and wants to exploit that vulnerability. So that tells me we need to take extra steps to encourage one another, to speak to one another, to be available to one another, to try to keep connected. And we can't have the attitude, well, I'm just going to sit over here until somebody contacts me. No, we've all got to have the attitude, I'm going to reach out. Who can I contact? Who can I touch? Who can I help? If we all do that, a lot more will happen. It's important. An encouragement, sometimes a correction. Those of us who are parents knows that's the hardest part of parenting, isn't it? To correct your child. It's because we love them so much, but yet it's lovelessness not to correct a child. And so sometimes we, even as a pastor, sometimes that's part of, like even things I've shared this morning, we need to all make sure we're straight here. You know, it's like you go to a chiropractor to get those bones in right alignment. Sometimes rebuke. The Bible says open rebuke's better than secret love. Have you ever had your spouse rebuke you in love? Once. Give her courage, Lord God. But we know what that's like. Here's what usually happens. I've been rebuked needfully, and still am. And now, I have a harder time receiving it from professional rebukers. You know what I mean? I have been called to be the rebuker in the kingdom. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone that knows you. Someone that loves you. And I mean, you've got to let you know your love, and they can be honest with you. We all need that. And that's where in a marriage is a good place for it, if you do it in love. Don't wait till the day you're angry, then you pull out all the dirty laundry and have a nuclear explosion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having an honest moment and say, you know, you need to think about that. And my sweet wife, the Lord knew exactly what I needed. I am married to a professional counselor. But we all need that too. You know what it means when it's done right? I love you. I don't want your future to be hindered by this. So pay attention from the people God chooses to use to impact your life in those ways. That's important. Number two, investigate your frustrations. Quickly, when we get frustrated, a lot of times it's because we're angry at ourselves, or we're angry at someone else, or we're just angry at the circumstances. And that our tendencies, when I say our, this is a generalization, doesn't necessarily apply to every situation, but the enemy wants us to become controllers. If we don't like something, we try to control it and fix it in wrong ways. And that kind of control and that kind of manipulation, it doesn't work in a marriage. It doesn't work with our children. Doesn't work in the church. And it doesn't really work anywhere. People may do what you want them to do, but they'll resent you for it because they feel manipulated. But when we're overly frustrated, we need to ask the Lord, why am I frustrated? Now, I will repent this morning and acknowledge that sometimes when I get frustrated, I know, because it's easy to preach this. I know that's the first thing I need to do. Lord, why am I so frustrated? But sometimes it'll be third base before I get around to that. And that frustrates me to no end. But seriously, if we could just, when we're feeling that frustration, why am I so frustrated? And it comes back to that serenity prayer. Lord, help me to change the things I can change. And it says, accept the things I can't change. I would say rather than accept the things I can't change, help me to partner with you on the things I can't change and learn from you. And then the wisdom to know the difference. Because if we'll do that, then that allows us, the last thing that I'll share, it allows us to have that. And that is, and to allow your life to be governed by peace. A couple of Sundays ago, I preached the whole message on peace. During this season, the enemy just keeps wanting to steal your peace. Usually just from one channel to the next, and there it goes. Right? Or one article to the next, there it goes. Or one post to the next, there goes my peace. We just have to be governed by peace. The enemy always wants to magnify what he's doing. He always wants to make mountains out of molehills. That's his modus operandi. Take something small and blow it up into something big. And those frustrations can be the little foxes that spoil the vines. And one way to guard against that, Lord, why am I frustrated? Help me to be governed by your peace. You see, when peace is present, you can be in the middle of a storm. And it doesn't steal your peace. But if peace isn't present, it doesn't take but a little conflict to be a big tornado. Peace, that's the power of peace. And I talked about that a couple of Sundays ago, crushing Satan under our feet, the peace of God. Let peace govern in your life. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Are you at peace this morning? If not, why? Lord, what has stolen my peace? Lord, why am I frustrated? And what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I know it may sound trite, but I believe it's true. A lot of things that so upset us really won't matter 100 years from now. And if they don't matter in that regard, then they're not eternal. And Jesus taught us to live with our mind seated in the heavenly places. That's our true place, our position, with the eternal perspective. And then what we receive there, we're able to bring down, and I'm speaking in metaphoric terms, although it's true in the world of spirit. What we receive there, what we find there, we allow it to change us. Then we bring it down into the realm of earth, and we release it by living it out. And that's the reason he could be in the boat in the middle of the storm taking him a nap, and his body's getting rest, and his sleep is sweet, and he's shaken awake by some guys that have gotten overly anxious, and the storm's got them all shook up, and they're afraid, and they're even accusing him. Aren't you concerned that we're perishing? Have you forgotten about us? We do that same thing. But because Jesus knew who he was, he could stand up. Peace. Be still. Wow, this world needs people who can walk into the room and release that. Some days our marriage just needs at least half of the marriage to decide, you know what? I'm going to release that. Are you with me? We need that. Are you frustrated? If so, why? Are you trying to control something that can't be controlled, or change something that can't be changed in the methods that are being employed? Are you governed by peace? Now, none of that means that we're not still warriors, that we're not engaged in warfare, that we're not firm, that we're not battling, that we're not decreeing, that we're not declaring. But that is the point. Because we are in that place, then by doing those things, they're anointed. They have the weight of the Spirit, the power of God on them. And the storms will begin to quiet. And folks will begin to be saved. And people will begin to be healed. And people will begin to be set free. And marriages will begin to be reconciled. And families will be closer together. And the church will be in more unity. And the region will have more glory. And as Mickey mentioned, it does start in that circle, doesn't it? Am I the only one that has to relearn lessons? Here's the thing about being a preacher and trying to be authentic. Is when you know you're going to be standing up here on Sunday and sharing the truth all week long. You know, there's times I can't preach that where I am right now. That might be what's involved sometimes. Well, the Lord changed my message at the last minute. But seriously, I am excited. Mickey mentioned it. Last Thursday we had the meeting with the city zoning. We've been approved. And we're told that the permit will be issued actually in the morning. Our contractor says they should be moving heavy equipment on our property by the end of the week. I want to ask all of you who pray, even some of your groups may want to do this. If you get a chance this week, go over there on the property. You can drive on the north end. There's no curb on the property. Walk and pray and decree and declare. I believe in time. See, we've been frustrated. It was for a while that when are we going to start? Because we were supposed to start. And about 2 months ago, I had to go to war and I found peace. And I realized, you know what? Lord, you knew all this. You knew this pandemic was going to happen. When you gave us the vision, when we signed the paper, when we got the loan, you knew all that was going to happen. I trust you with the timing. And since then, I've just been excited. And I can honestly say, there's part of me, I'm glad we're not moving in the building this coming Sunday. Because now I believe we're going to be around the curve from all this stuff. We'll be able to open the doors without having to think about guidelines or any you know, other than biblical guidelines, of course. But I'm talking about because we've tried to honor the authorities in our state. Be a good example in that regard. But I just trust God with the timing, and I'm excited. And I just feel a renewing of vision about what's coming. And it's not because we're going to have a building, but it's because we've had so many prophetic words. Those floodgates are going to open. So where we are in time right now with our building, we are starting. I mean, our faith is going to start taking sight, but we're not quite there yet. So let's continue to let God mold us and shape us and form us. Let's really be in unity. And I'm not saying we're putting our future on hold until we get in that new building. I don't mean that at all. But just understand where we are. Our governor said this past week that I think the guidelines, if I understood correctly, will be lifted on April the 9th, which I wish it had been a week earlier, so because that's the week after Easter. But it is what it is. We may do three services, but we're headed somewhere. And God is good. And the plans he has for us are good. So let's stay in peace. Let's be impacted by what each other carry in a positive way. And when we get frustrated, let's do this and get with the Lord. See where we are in time, discern what he's doing, and then do that. Amen. Would you stand with me? In a moment, we're going to dismiss, and I'll be here in the altar, and I'll ask a few of our other leaders just to be available to pray. Anyone that has a special need of prayer, the worship team will be playing some music. I'm going to go ahead and release you in just a moment. But I want us to conclude this service today by saying the Lord's Prayer together with an understanding of what I shared today about time, what we're asking God to do, our dependence on Him, and to really personalize it and walk out of here today with the reality of this verse. Let me find it. Psalm 31, verse 15. I declare this over you, then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let me read it again. My times are in your hands. Implied, you, Lord, deliver me from the hands, this way, of my enemies. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies. Whatever your enemy may be, your time is in his hands. It's in his hands. Say this with me. My time are in your hands, O Lord. My times are in your hands. Do you believe that? Then pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That covers it all, doesn't it? Go in peace. This altar's open. God bless you. Thank you for being here today at Grace House.